Today on Focal Point, a challenging message from Pastor Mike Fabares.
What I'm asking you to do this week as a result of this message is to get serious about storing up treasure in heaven, helping people pursue Christ in a thoughtful and careful way. If you do that, you see, you're going to have to be somewhat detached from a lot of what people in this world are attached to. You're going to have that 2 Timothy 2 idea of you know what, I got a task that's a lot bigger than the stuff that seems to concern the minds and priorities of people here on earth. I'm like a stranger, an alien. It's like I don't fit here.
Most of us spend a great deal of time and energy preparing for our retirement. We work hard at our jobs, invest in retirement accounts, maybe even consult with financial advisors and experts. But with all this effort preparing for a few decades of earthly life, how much time do we spend preparing for eternity? Well, today on Focal Point, Pastor Mike Fabares challenges us to store up treasures in heaven and live each day with eternity in mind. Let's dive in.
In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, you need to remember Paul's passion when he came to Corinth was to help people pursue Christ, to make disciples. The problem was he hears word back sometime later that things aren't going so well. Because what he's finding is though people were zealous to help other people pursue Christ, the end result were people that were jealous, that had envy in their hearts. There were factions and divisions in the church. I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos. There were people that were being tolerant of sin. There were people that didn't understand truth or where to find it. There were people that were just inflamed with emotionalism in the church. There's lots of problems in the church at Corinth. And he says, listen, you may be zealous to help people pursue Christ, but you're losing sight of doing this right. You're not doing it the right way. And so he motivates them in verses 10 through 17 by saying you need to realize that your work is not just about trying to say a few things for God. It's not just about showing up to the prayer meeting. It's not just about yakking with people about Jesus in your life. It's about making sure you do it well and you do it right. And he says, when I came through town, by the grace that God has given me, verse 10, he said, I laid a foundation as an expert builder. I knew what I was doing. He said, I laid out the plan here, and someone else is building on it. He had other people coming through town, teaching them, and they were teaching each other, leading each other, helping each other pursue Christ. But he says, listen, be really careful. Each one of you should be really careful. Be careful how you build on it. It's not just about doing it and showing up. It's about doing it right. Steps back and says, let's talk about the foundation for a second. Verse 11, no one can lay any foundation other than the one that's already laid, which is Jesus Christ. Remember, that's the foundation, he says. And then he says, let's talk about people that are trying to build on that, which we should and we need to. He says, if any man builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, he says, I guarantee it, his work is going to be shown for what it is. Because the day, is that word capitalized? It ought to be. The day, because to them they thought, okay, the appraisal day is coming. Paul knew it was a consuming thought. One day all this work will be judged. It's the day. The day will bring it to light. Because in our analogy, if you look at the list, gold, silver, costly stones, and wood, hay, and straw, there are a lot of different building materials here, some perhaps for temples and some for little huts over here. But the bottom line is some materials are combustible and consumable and some are not. And he says the analogy here, let's look at it this way. It's all going to be reviewed as if you take the building materials and you torch it all with fire. And the fire is going to test the quality of each person's work. In what way? Verse 14. If what he's built survives, if it passes the test, then the guy who's built that's going to receive a reward. If it's burned up, if what he's done here in trying to help someone pursue Christ really doesn't result in what it ought to, if it's just not good ministry, if it's not good help, then you know what? He's going to suffer loss. Though he himself will be saved. I realize he was out there trying to, with good intentions, do this, but he's going to be like one escaping through the flames. He won't have anything to show for the ministry he's done in his life. And he says, be careful. And he gives the motivation, verse 16. Don't you know that you yourselves, this church, you people, you're God's temple and that God's spirit lives in you? I mean, when you're dabbling with leading a Bible study, this is important. These are God's people. He puts it this way in verse 17, a very stern reminder about God's concern on all this. If anyone destroys God's temple, the word defiled or corrupt, if we lead people astray, if we mess up, see, with these people, then you know what? God's going to mess with you. God's going to destroy that person. For we are God's temple, and God's temple is sacred, he says, and you are that temple. The bottom line is when we're trying to lead our kids and help our kids understand Christ and we're working with these kids, God says those kids are precious to me, or the people in that Bible study, or the person you're taking through our partners program, or the people you're mentoring about their Christian faith at work during your lunch hour. And he says, be careful how you build on this foundation because I care about those people. They're precious to me. Now, just reading verses 10 through 17 with just a little bit of comment here and there on that text, you might say, whoa, wait a minute. That's kind of a new concept for me. You mean we're going to be judged? Now, wait a minute. I thought as a Christian, we're not going to be judged as Christians, are we? This is a new thought for you that I think we need to camp on verses 10 through 13 and just let the concept of our review kind of settle in on our minds. I put it this way, number one on your outline. We need to get real about your review. In other words, we need to think rightly about it. We need to say, okay, this is a reality, and I'm going to make sure that I understand that my life will be appraised one day. Our work, our ministry, our pursuit, our helping of people pursue Christ is going to be seen for what it is. The quality will be tested. Now let's grapple with the core heart of this passage. He doesn't camp on it, of course, because they're having lots of problems. But look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 14. The upside of it is this. If we do a good job at this, if we invest right, if we do it right, if we're careful and thoughtful, if it's a biblical kind of helping people pursue Christ, and God will see that, and he'll say, that's good work, the quality was good, and after the judgment, after the appraisal, it will still stand, and the Bible says, if what you've built survives, that person receives a reward. Now, Paul didn't camp on that because he's not seeing a lot of good work in Corinth. But let's step out of that because a lot in Scripture, we do see that there's a lot of talk about reward. As a matter of fact, some people struggle with being motivated to live this life now because there's some contingent reward later, and they think that's just kind of spiritual materialism, some kind of oxymoron there, but you know, some kind of focus on things, and it's just crass. If that's crass, then Jesus was one of the most crass preachers there are because he constantly said things like this, store up for yourself treasure in, man, that sounds pretty greedy, right? He's not here on earth. You store for yourself treasure here on earth, you never know what it's not going to last. You can't take it with you, but you store it for yourself treasure in heaven. Nothing's going to touch that. You can change the look of that inheritance. You can change the way that you exist in that eternal place. So you've got to be careful and invest in that. Store up for yourself treasure in heaven. Look at this example from Matthew 25. Jesus tells a parable about rewards. Let's start in verse 14. He sets it up. The kingdom of God, it is like a man going on a journey who calls his servants together on Matthew 25, 14. Are you with me? And entrusted his property to them. To the one he gave 5 talents of money. So this very rich and wealthy landowner comes and he says, here, I'm going to give you 5 talents of my money. It's a lot of stuff. Barely fits in your briefcase, right? To another, 2 talents. And to another, 1 talent, each according to his ability. He goes on the journey, bottom of verse 15. Now, the man who'd received 5 talents picks up his pencil and he goes to work. 5 talents. He went at once and he put his money to work and he gained 5 more. Doesn't tell us how. Bottom line is he produced with what God gave him. Something productive came out of this guy's investment. Verse 17. So also the one with 2 talents and he gained 2 more. Now, you can see everything in between. Picture 2,000 people that he entrusts stuff with. Picture a church like ours and every individual here, the entrustment is to you. It's all a little different here. He does it sovereignly, but we have the goods. We have the responsibility. We have the instructions, and he says, go for it. Now, there's one guy here that really is not contained in our passage in 1 Corinthians 3, but we better discuss it because it's important not to misunderstand the text. There is one more guy there. He receives 1 talent, verse 18, but he went off, dug a hole in the ground, stuck it in the ground, and hid his master's money. Verse 19, very important verse. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and, underline it, settled accounts with them. That's judgment day. That's when God calls you before the bema seat of Christ, this raised up platform, the tribunal of Christ, and he says, okay, time to settle accounts. It's time to, as Romans 14 says, to stand before him and give an account of our lives. Or 2 Corinthians 5 says, because we always want to please him. Why? Because we'll all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And there we will be. And he's going to settle his accounts. And it says, the man, verse 20, who'd received 5 talents, brought in 5 others, and he said, Master, you entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I've gained 5 more. How did I do? Right? Verse 21. His master replied, here's these words we're always looking to hear from Christ on that day. Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things, which is kind of funny because 5 talents is a lot of stuff. But he said, been faithful with a few things. I mean, it seemed like a lot to you and a lot of time and a lot of stuff. But the bottom line is, it ain't nothing about what you're about to get. I will put you in charge of many things. You have lots of stuff. You have lots of responsibility. The cross-reference in Luke 19, he uses mina, which is 1/60th of a talent, smaller denominations. But what he talks about there is he says to people, you'll be put in charge of 5 cities. It's not just stuff for the garage. It's responsibility. Nevertheless, let's keep reading. He says, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. Now underscore this. Come and share in your master's what? Happiness. That may sound crass to you. These guys get rewarded and they get to have a great time based on their investment and the return of God's investment in their lives. A man with two. He came in and said, Master, you entrusted me with 2 talents. See, I've gained 2 more. And his master replied, same reply. Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I'll put you in charge of many. Come and share your master's happiness. Wow, great. Now again, that's what our text is about and every variation in between. And there's a lot of people in Corinth that were trying to help people pursue Christ and do what God called them to do, but they were resulting in bad things. And Paul says, listen, your whole effort's going to be burned up. Not giving that any time, any attention. You think reading a few Bible stories to your kids, that's raising. You think that going to that Bible study half prepared is what? It's not about, you got to do a better job at this. But there is one guy here, and just to get it in context, though it's not the topic of our passage, let's at least read what happened with him. He comes in. And he says, Master, I knew you were a hard man in harvesting where you had not sown and gathering where you hadn't scattered seed. Verse 25. So I was afraid and I went out and I hid your talent in the ground. By the way, look down to verse 29 and following. This is a guy who gets cast into outer darkness where there's wailing and gnashing of teeth. If you don't know anything about the Bible, I hope you realize this. Those are the people that aren't in, you know, the kingdom. This is a non-Christian we're talking about here. They have no desire to help people pursue Christ. They don't have any interest. They don't even, like the Corinthians, just give it a zealous try. They're just sitting around. They hide it in the ground. It's like they're not even interested. And he says, here's what belongs to you. And his master said, verse 26, you wicked and lazy servant. You knew I harvested where I hadn't sown. You knew where I gathered where I hadn't scattered seed. Well then, you should have put my money on deposit at least. And you should have done that with the bankers. I could have returned and received it back with interest. Take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. And then off with you. And there we go. I mean, it's not even an option to say, well, I do nothing. That reveals the true character of your faith, whether you have it or not. That's not what I'm talking about. Every true Christian has a desire to do what God has called us to do. The problem is, are we giving it a half-hearted effort, or are we giving it a wholehearted, an accurate, careful, thoughtful, real directed, biblically directed effort? He says, if what you've built survives, you'll receive a reward. There's a lot of people trying, a lot of people going, but we got to do it right. Did we ever give you number 2? Get motivated by your reward. And again, I know that's crass for some of us. Get motivated by the reward, but that's what God's calling us to do. To recognize that there's something at stake, something eternal. In this life, you work for stuff that's all going to burn. If we invest in helping people pursue Christ, staying the extra hour, going the extra mile, you know, spending the extra dollar, doing what it takes to help someone understand God and pursue Christ better, then you know what the Bible says? Listen, there's going to be treasure for you in heaven. There'll be enjoyment, responsibility. There'll be good things going on there for you. All right, the negative motivation is what this passage ends on, and I'm sorry to end on a negative note, but I guess God didn't read the latest parenting book about positive reinforcement, but here it is. Verse 15, if it's burned up, if what I've built, if what I've tried to do to help people pursue Christ, a couple half-hearted efforts, then you're going to suffer loss. Now, there's a connection that's very hard for us to get. Because the next verse or the next phrase says, he himself will be saved. We don't usually think of people saved standing before Christ and suffering. And yet there are those two words. The juxtaposition of those two words is sure is provocative, right? The guy is saved. He stands before Christ. He's settling the accounts and he's suffering loss. It may not mean much at the Orange County Fair for a blue ribbon or whatever, but standing before God, this is going to matter. And the Bible says it was going to be a real difficult day for some of us. Because we're going to say, wow, I had 15 years down there on earth to try and help people pursue Christ, live a holy life, and do something for Christ, and affect people for the kingdom. And man, I didn't do much with it. And what I did, it was half-hearted, and it didn't really amount to much. I'm saved and all that. Look at that. He himself will be saved, but only like one escaping through the flames. What does that mean? He ain't got nothing to show for it. There's nothing there. There's no enjoyment. There ain't no 5 cities to manage. See? Whatever that means, the Bible says, listen, there's going to be some suffering of loss. Somebody says, well, it won't matter to me. I'll just be there. God will be there. It'll be cool. I don't think it's going to be cool. See? I think you're going to say, this was a big bummer. This test I didn't do well at. The placement exam is over. There's no going back and making it up. Number 3 on your outline, we got to get serious about doing it right. If we're going to make a difference in people's lives, that's what needs to happen. Now here's a verse, and it won't fit well with our caricature of the Christian life in the 21st century. But please, turn there with me, and let's understand that to get serious, that word's pretty weighty. Look at this passage, 1 Peter chapter 1. Coming off the heels of this Old Testament quotation, quoted many times in the Bible, verse 16, that we're to be holy as I'm holy. Look at verse 17. Since you call on a father, are we talking about Christians here? Yeah, Christian people, writing to these Christians. You call on a father who judges each man's work impartially. See, the judgment of God of my life, in this case, the holiness of my life, in 1 Corinthians 3, the ministry of my life, then I ought to live as strangers here in reverent fear. Two components, as strangers in fear. Think of those two concepts, as strangers. What I'm asking you to do this week as a result of this message is to get serious about storing up treasure in heaven, helping people pursue Christ in a thoughtful and careful way. If you do that, you see, you're going to have to be somewhat detached from a lot of what people in this world are attached to. You're going to have that 2 Timothy 2 idea of, you know what, I got a task that's a lot bigger than the stuff that seems to concern the minds and priorities of people here on earth. I'm like a stranger, an alien. It's like I don't fit here. And when the world's running around wondering whether they have lights in the baseball field in the Forrester Ranch or whatever the thing is, then what we need to say is, listen, my priorities are so much bigger than that. You see, I'm concerned about the people that play ball on that field, whether they're pursuing Christ and if I can help them pursue Christ. My goals, my thoughts, everything is so much bigger than that. Lights or no lights, park or no park, freeway, tollway, whatever. The bottom line is we got a whole big priority out here that's consuming our lives. And you may look at me, don't you care? Don't you care? Strangers here. I mean, it's kind of that feeling of detachment. And not only as strangers, but in, here's what the English NIV does, reverent fear. The word is phobos, in fear. There's that sense in which, I know that doesn't seem to fit our caricature of the Christian life, but the idea of there's that sense of I'm going to be reviewed. This life is going to be evaluated. God is going to appraise what I've done, my priorities, my holiness, my ministry. See, that may not be how we kind of want to whistle through the Christian park until we get to heaven, but the bottom line is there's a sense of every day is a test. Testing in progress. Can you see it? That's to steal the joy from our life? No. Is that for fear of purgatory? No. Are we talking about heaven and hell? No. We're talking about when we get there and our life is evaluated. Are we going to hear from him? Well done. Is there going to be privilege and reward and approval on our lives because of how we spent it here on earth? Wow, that's a mindset that's a bit different. But passages like 1 Corinthians 3 drive it home. There's one more part of it, and I think we've got to nail this in verse 17. Look at that real quickly with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17. There are really three kinds of judgments that need to be carefully distinguished throughout this passage to read it correctly. There's the judgment, you see, of heaven and hell. That was settled at the cross. There's the judge, and that's the county courthouse thing we kind of looked at. There's the judgment of the Orange County Fair, if you will, the evaluation of my life and how I'm going to spend eternity in terms of privilege and responsibility and approval and all that, in terms of that reality in the kingdom, okay? And then there's a third one, hadn't been mentioned until this verse. The word here that's translated to destroy is the word that can be translated and often is elsewhere, corrupt or defile. I mean, it really, the idea is you're leading people astray. You're messing people up here. It says if you mess these people up, if you mess this building up that's supposed to be built according to the biblical parameters here, then you know what? God's going to mess you up. The same word used twice. If you destroy God's temple, God will destroy him. Now, there's a third level of judgment we need to straighten out. One last passage where this will be done. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. In 1 Corinthians 11, the idea of this kind of judgment is brought into view. The judgment of a temporal discipline from God that is not a paying for sin. It is a loving correction from God that does not feel good, that is all about correcting behavior, the third kind of judgment. 1 Corinthians 11, the topic is communion, and the church is making a potluck feast out of communion. And he says, that's wrong. That's not what it's about. You better be sober. You better understand that these symbols represent something weighty and important. Verse 27. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner, it's like being guilty and sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. Don't you know what this is about? A man ought to examine himself before he eats the bread and drinks the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks it without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on himself. What kind of judgment are we talking about? Verse 30. That is why many among you are, look, weak and sick, and a number of you have fallen asleep. And we're not talking about long, boring sermons. Falling asleep is a euphemism for died, croaked, kicked the bucket. You're dead. You physically, your heart stops beating. Okay? Keep reading. Verse 31, he says, if we judged ourselves, we would not come under judgment. What kind of judgment are we talking about? Verse 32, when you are judged by the Lord, talking to Christians about doing something bad, wrong, he says, we are being disciplined, there's our word, so that we will not be condemned with the world. See, because those without discipline, according to Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 12, is that if you're without discipline, obviously you're not a child of God, and those are the people that pay for their sin in hell. They end up paying for it. But kids of the King, they get disciplined. So here's the thing, half-hearted effort in the Bible study, see, leading that Awana group but not giving it a whole lot of thought, raising those kids and really just kind of relying on a track or a book here or there, not really doing this thing right, thoughtfully, carefully, with quality, see. The Bible says if you lead people astray, I mean, if it results in something bad, if you're really more detriment than good, if you defile the building, if you destroy God's people in that sense, then you know what? God will destroy you. And what are the most extreme categories? Look at it in our passage. It's sickness, weakness, and even death. And God has no problem doing that because he'll say, listen, I care so much about your input in people's lives. I can't have you leading people astray. And when God's kids don't take it seriously, there's something else at stake on the negative side. And all of that falls on the shoulder of the Corinthians. And Paul's trying to say, be careful, be careful, be careful. Do this right. Again, no option for Christians to sit on the sideline. And if you're a real Christian here and you haven't yawned your way through this sermon, you've said, I do want to please God. I do want to serve God. I do want to help people pursue Christ. The choice is now between us as Christians. How are we going to do it? Go the extra mile, stay the extra hour, spend the extra dollar, give it our all, do our best. They're kind of give it half-hearted, and I'm really focused on the earthly possessions, you know, and I can't afford time away from work or whatever. I got to have that whatever because I don't have time to minister, whatever. You know what I'm saying? It's going to get down to priorities. It's going to get down to, like in 2 Corinthians 12, we're going to have to say with the Apostle Paul, I will most gladly spend and be expended for your soul. It's the priorities of Jim Elliot, who wrote in his journal there before he was martyred by the Ecuadorian Indians. You know the story. He wrote in his journal a very famous line. He is no fool, he said. He is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. Listen, we are here to help people pursue Christ. I hope this week you'd give yourself to that task and give up on a few earthly things. And someone may think you're a stranger, you're weird, that's fine. But I'm trying to do something Christ commanded us all to do, store up for ourselves treasure in heaven. Because I want to hear from him, well done, good and faithful servant.
And that should be the goal for each of us as we prioritize things of eternal value. You're listening to Focal Point, the Bible teaching ministry of Pastor Mike Fabares. Now, we know today's message may be a bit uncomfortable. After all, it's so much easier to invest in things we can see and touch and enjoy here on earth. So to help you keep the eternal goal in mind, we've put together a brand new resource we'd like you to have. Pastor Mike, will you tell us a little bit about this booklet?
Yes, we're really excited about this new resource. It's a Focal Point exclusive. Only place you're going to find it. It's called Living for Jesus. It's worth it. This is a little booklet I wrote that talks about going to the gym. Of course, it's not about the gym, but it's a good analogy about why people go to the gym instead of sitting on the couch all day. They do it with a goal in mind. They think about their health, their fitness, how they look in the mirror. It's a good analogy to the Christian life. And when things get tough, we need to keep our eyes on the spiritual goal. I wrote this booklet to remind you about eternity and what lies ahead. We need to be steadfast. We need to be faithful in the Christian life. I'd love to send a copy of this out to you. It's a gift for our new listeners this month just for reaching out to us. And Dave is going to tell you how you can get one.
Thanks, Mike. Here's the number to call to request this free resource, 888-320-5885. Or you can also request the booklet at focalpointradio.org. We love providing free Bible teaching in as many formats as possible, and it's funded by generous listeners like you who believe in our mission and want to be a part of it. And when you give today, we'll show our appreciation for your support by sending you a book titled The Wisdom of God by A.W. Tozer. Request the book The Wisdom of God when you give by calling 888-320-5885 or go to focalpointradio.org. Well, I'm your host, Dave Drewy. Be sure to come back Friday for our weekly feature called Ask Pastor Mike. We'll be tackling the question, does God hear all prayer? That's coming up next time on Focal Point.
Pastor Mike here. You know, it's an honor to be with you every day, helping you explore the depths of Scripture. But I want to be clear, no amount of Bible knowledge is ever going to save you. Be sure where you stand with God.
get in touch with us. We'd love to pray with you and for you. Visit us today at focalpointradio.org. We look forward to hearing from you.
Today's program was produced and sponsored by Focal Point Ministries.